Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer, weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
We return to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Brought to you by Digitex. Managed print services to keep your printing costs down?
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
Son, welcome back, everybody. Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott with you on Oilers Now. We will tell you that Royal Pizza, Pizza Pasta, and so much more. Edmonton owned and operated for over 50 years. For a menu and a list of their 13 Edmonton and area locations, go online at royalpizza.ca or download the Royal Pizza app from the App Store. The Stauffer recommendation is the Mediterranean chicken. Brendan Escott likes the Texan. Our next guest is one of the Oilers' two radio play-by-play voices. Cam Moon joins us for our friends at Brent Ridge Ford. And twice this year for our early broadcasts, Cam played a dual role. He was bringing in the Royal Pizza for the boys in the booth. So it was an awesome deed indeed on part of Cam Moon. Cam, how you doing?
Doing very well. I heard so much about the Mediterranean chicken. I needed to know. Like, I needed to know for me if it was that good, and it is.
Oh, yeah, it is. But it is old-school big boy pizza, isn't it, Cam? Like, there's none of that synthetic crap on their pizza. Everything's real at Royal.
No, real deal. Real good. It was a lovely way to... Well, you were on the air doing Oilers Now when I would get there, but it was nice to have a little lunch before we did an afternoon broadcast. A couple of quirky schedule times this year made it a lot of fun.
Full disclosure, not that the listeners want to know my dietary or lack thereof habits, but I often do not eat on game days. I know you just laugh at that, don't you? Until after the game, which is when once I hit about 30. But once you get to a certain point, you probably shouldn't be eating too much after 7 or 8. And Cam, hopefully next season when you and Jack are splitting the radio play-by-play and we're traveling again, because Cam will be doing Jack will be doing the regional games for Sportsnet again, hopefully we'll be on the plane. And I can tell you, the first year I did the games in 08-09, I'm not a skinny guy like you. I gained 23 pounds during the course of last season. So now I'm not sure what it was exactly from, but it might have been from eating after 10 o'clock on game nights when we travel from city to city on the tour. It's a little bit different. 22 years in the Western Hockey League, and did you guys eat after games?
Oh, yeah.
On the bus, yeah?
Well, usually sit down, but, yeah, not very often, like, actually right on the bus, but sit down, then get on the bus. So, yeah, we did that a lot.
Now, did you find as you got a little bit older that you started to eat less?
Yes. I'm a bit obsessive-compulsive with that, so... I made sure that after the game, I wasn't crushing a lot so that I can keep it. I got to keep it tight. Yeah.
See, unfortunately, I have not learned that lesson of eating less. after games. So anyhow, and my guess is there's certain individuals driving around the city of Edmonton right now are listening to us online that can relate to the challenges of trying to eat less as you get older. And I know all the rules. Like, there are guys that tell me, stop, don't eat after 7 o'clock at night. You can eat what you want between 7 and 7 and just drink water after 7 o'clock at night. I would think it'd be sacrilegious not to have something a little bit stronger than water once in a while after 7 o'clock at night. Anyhow, let's get to it. What did you think of Vegas and Colorado?
Great series. I loved the passion in the stands, which was made it fun to watch. I was shocked that Vegas was able to roll 4 straight wins like they did, like absolutely stunned, to tell you the truth. And you know, I heard you and Speck talking earlier about how, you know, for Colorado, it really went south in game 5 when they had the lead through 40, and it most certainly did. One of the beauties of the playoffs to me is you don't know when that turning point's going to be. In a series, it could be early in the series, it could be late, it could be in the middle. But then after, when you have the hindsight, you go, yeah, that's kind of where it spun right there. You know, no different with the Oilers when they lost the 4-1 lead, and you look, you're like, yeah, well, that was basically it. Well, I thought it was game 5 for Colorado to, you know, they had the opportunity and just couldn't get it done. How about Marc-Andre Fleury? My God, like, that guy, he just battles. I love how he battles. And he's taking it up, and that's what he's doing. And what a team. They play hard. They play heavy. They're going to be an incredibly tough out. And I absolutely like Vegas's chances against the Montreal Canadiens.
All right, Cam, by the way, you're 6-6 so far in the playoffs. And I'm only marginally better. I'm 7-5, and I'm 0-3 in Canada. I haven't got obviously had Toronto at Edmonton, and then I took Winnipeg against Montreal. Shows you what I know. Goaltending. So you're a former WHL goaltender. When you played, did you sense that the league at that time and the WHL went out of their way to protect goalies?
No, actually, I wouldn't back then. You could get run over a little bit. Like, there was some protection, but not so much with the rules. I mean, you weren't supposed to drill the goalies, but it did happen. I thought the protection was levied just throughout your lineup.
Right.
Because back then, I mean, everybody had a couple of heavyweights, and you can go hit the goalie if you want, but that's at your own peril. It's not like that anymore. It's different. Definitely, like, if you look now, the goaltenders are absolutely being protected. In fact, you can't even jostle or bump them while the puck is en route to the net, or you see the goal called back if it's within the crease or even beyond. So that, to me, is completely different. You can look at goals from 20 years ago where it was just, I mean, tough luck. You're going to get jostled and bumped and moved, and it's going to make it incredibly difficult, and goals to go in as a result. So, yeah, it's drastically changed for the better, I would say, too.
A couple days ago, Grant Fuhr, it was the 40th anniversary of him getting selected 8th overall in the 1981 NHL draft. Today is the anniversary of Andy Moog being chosen 132nd overall in 1980. Two pretty good picks by Glenn Sather and Barry Fraser, weren't they?
Yeah, that worked out. I mean, the Andy Moog one, that flew under the radar at the time, and until he came up and stung the hockey world with the defeat of the Montreal Canadiens in the 81 playoffs. Like, that was, and I really burst onto the scene. And the Oilers still went and picked Grant Fuhr that summer. You can't have too much of it. And you could have easily said at that time, hey, this Andy Moog guy, he looks like he's our guy, and we can run with him. And they still took Grant Fuhr, which turned out to be an amazing pick. And Fuhr makes the team the next year. You know, he still had junior eligibility. He could have went back and played for the Victoria Cougars, but no. comes to Edmonton, and if I recall, Andy Moe got sent to the minors, and to start the year, it was Fuhr and Ron Lowe, and he turned out to be, you know, a Hall of Fame goaltender. And yeah, that was, you talk about two picks and two guys that, you know, even when you had one that looked pretty good, you still take another because that's a position you kind of have too much of. And it turned out to be absolutely huge for the Edmonton Oilers and for runs to the Stanley Cup. If you, and quite honestly, I thought especially like that 84 and not so much in 85, but certainly in 84, Andy Moe played a big role in that too. And he got some wins, certainly when Fuhr got hurt in the final. So those were, it was huge to have two really quality netminders at that time.
All right, well, now I'm going to take you down a different path. We know where the Edmonton Oilers are going to draft. We're joined by Cam Moon, one of the two Oilers radio play-by-play voices, splitting duties this year with Jack Michaels. You play the position yourself. You've, you know, former WHL goalie yourself, broadcaster in the league the last two decades. Plus, where does Sebastian Kosa rank relative to the top goaltenders you've seen out of the WHL over the last 20-plus years?
Well, and you and I were fortunate enough to watch him this year. You know, you and I were able to go watch him play, which that helps. It helps. And the more you watch him, the better grasp of an opinion on him you get. And I was able to watch him last year or the year previous as well. But his he looks like a pro. He looks like a pro right now. And there aren't a lot over the last 22 years where I could see them in junior and say, yep, that's what an NHL goalie looks like. There's guys that have developed into that, but when they were in junior, they were still just an above average junior goaltender. So were they going to be for sure 100% NHLers? No, not at all. But they worked themselves into that. But some guys, you see them and you just go, yep, that's what an NHL goalie looks like. Sebastian Kosa is one of those guys. And I would put, you know, Carey Price into that category. Cam Ward was definitely in that category. Carter Hart was in that category. And the list, it's not huge. It really isn't. Where you just see them at that advanced, that economy of movement, that positioning, that focus, that confidence, having all of those aspects in their game at a young age. And again, some guys get there, and maybe they don't get there till they're 26, but some are just ahead of the curve. Sebastian Kosa is one of those guys that is ahead of the curve. It's late birthday, so he's very likely to play one more year of junior, so this season coming up, and then he'll be playing pro at 20. I don't doubt for an absolute second that he'll be on the World Junior team this year. I don't know how he isn't. I thought he had a really good shot last year, but I mean, what do I know? He didn't even go to camp. But, it was tough this year because they were only playing against Alberta teams. And Edmonton was clearly the best of the Alberta teams. The Medicine Hat was decent. And then, you know, Red Deer and Calgary and Lethbridge were all in a time of their cycle where they were kind of near the bottom. So what I'm saying is Sebastian Kosa didn't get to see a lot of busy nights. And with a team as good as Edmonton, maybe you're not going to. Or see as, you know, real high quality situations against them. So it's a little more difficult to judge because of that. Now, next season with things, you know, the plan is they'll be playing outside of the province, which is, that's awesome. And he'll see different teams and good teams, because there's certainly some very good teams in the East Division. So that'll be good for his development. Absolutely. But yeah, he's on a very small list of guys that look like they're incredibly close to being NHL ready.
Yeah, I would, like, for me, Cam, and I think, I don't know, I think I saw seven or eight, I think he started seven of the games that I saw. They only played 11 at home. I would suggest you, I have him being Canada's, I mean, he's going to go in the first round of the draft. There hasn't been a goaltender draft in the first round. Unless Hockey Canada just decides that they're smarter than everybody else. And Here's the beauty for Hockey Canada. Canada's so deep you can do that. Okay? Sweden's not going to screw around. Wallstad's going to be the starting goalie for Sweden. And, you know, I think Kosa is going to be the number one goalie in Edmonton for the World Juniors. He'll be the number one goalie on an Oil Kings team, which is already better. It's already better right now than it was this past season. They added a tough kid out of Red Deer. They didn't have any of that element in their lineup. He's going to be a third-line guy. They're going to make a trade for a top-six forward. We know they're going to get Gunther and Neighbors back. They've got a couple moves coming on defense. They've got an extra first-round pick, and the draft isn't until December. So they're basically going to have three number one picks to dangle over the span of 6 months. They're going to have a hell of a team this year. Kosa is going to play junior next year. Then he's going to play, in my mind, no more than two pro years. And I believe he'll be in the NHL at 22. And he's 6'6", and he's athletic, Cam. And you saw this year when Edmonton was getting pushed around a bit in some games and teams were trying to we both looked at each other like, did he just do that? There were a couple times he gave the cheese board to some big boys on the ice and just stood back like Mike Smith would. He didn't take any crap in between the pipes either.
Took absolutely none. And I like the way he plays the puck too. Like, he plays it with some authority and there's some confidence and good decision-making as well with the puck. Yeah, the Oil Kings are going to have a very good year there for all the reasons that you just stated. And the fact that you're getting Kosa back for one more year, I wouldn't be shocked if he just played 1 year in the American League as a 20 and then was in the NHL at 21. That wouldn't surprise me at all.
Wow.
It wouldn't. Just based on what I have watched over the years and the ones that were really at the top of the game that you spent minimal time in the American League, but do spend some for sure. I could see it one and done as far as the American League goes, being an NHL guy at 21. It would have been nice to see him play against more teams and more near near the top of the league, but that'll be the case next year. And you know, hopefully he gets a long run in the playoffs to gain that valuable experience, because that's a big part of it too. When your team's relying on you and you got to be the guy, and that's the biggest thing about that position. I mean, you've got to be comfortable in that situation, and I think he absolutely is. But to get that chance at the WHL level, to take a team that is very good, but take them on a run and deal with the ups and the downs, because there's going to be a night or two where it doesn't go your way, and you got to deal with that adversity and the travel, and all of that, because WHL playoffs is not much different than when it comes to schedule and travel than what it's like in pro. Very similar. So it gives you kind of a sneak preview of, as a goaltender, what you're going to be up against when you get to the American League, when you get to the National Hockey League. So,
with threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
For him to have that type of experience and hopefully it results in a long run next year, I think that's going to be huge for him too.
All right, one final one for you. Are you surprised that Uncle Milt from Brent Ridge Ford never ended up being a general manager in the WHL?
Well, that in itself is one of life's mysteries, Bob, that Uncle Milt is not or has not been a GM at that level. So, yeah, it's crazy. Love those guys at Brent Ridge Ford. Good crew, even the ones that cheer for the wrong team.
There you go. Cam, we'll do this again in a couple weeks. Thanks for your time.
I love it. Thank you.
You bet. That is Cam Moon, one of the two Oilers radio play-by-play voices that we alternate every Friday here in the show. Jack Michaels will be joining us next week. We are going to go off to the Stan Oilers History for New West Travel. Dennis and Jason Laliberti back at the 630 Chad Studios, the one and only Brendan Escott.
1980, you talked about it. The Oilers take Paul Coffey, 6th overall, Yari Curry, 69th overall, and Andy Moog, 132nd in the NHL entry draft, helping form one of the greatest dynasties in sports history.
Yeah, no question. I mean, Paul Coffey, and I don't know, Brendan, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, maybe the listeners would disagree on the Ashley Fine Flores text line, but for me, Cale Makar is the most fluid skating defenseman I've seen since Paul Coffey. Like, the stuff that he can do, and actually there's a kid that plays for the Red Deer Rebels, a little right shot defenseman, kind of tries to look the same way out on the ice, by the name of Kyle Masters. And so you see it already generate, you know, the next group of kids sort of watching a kid like Makar and how he moves around on the ice with that skill. It was just, I mean, this is going to be Canada's top defenseman here. And as he gets better, and because he had chances to finish some plays off last night, for me, Cale Makar, the most fluid defenseman since Paul Coffey, who I think was the second best defenseman of all time next to Bobby Orr. And people say, well, what about Nick Lidstrom, 7? Yeah, Nick Lidstrom was really good. What about Doug Harvey? I got to be honest, I didn't see Doug Harvey play live. So, but Paul Coffey was spectacular, and his high end was off the charts, and it was in a high end time, a different time, no question about that. All right, well, Dave Campbell has Inside Sports Night. He's guest hosting for the one and only Reed Wilkins. What's he got shaking?
You will hear from the Chief Operating Officer for Sport Tourism Canada, Grant McDonald, on the pandemic's effect on Canada being able to host international events and on the road back.
All right. This wraps up the Friday edition of Oilers Now. We will tell you that Eileen Bell will have a global news, weather, traffic update, followed by Rob Breckenridge from 2 to 3, and then the 6:30 Chat Afternoons of Jalen Nye. I'll rejoin you Monday. John Shannon will be one of our guests, and we'll be rolling into the start of Montreal and Vegas Monday night after the afternoon encounter on Sunday involving Tampa Bay and the New York Islanders. The Euro has officially started. Love it. Great event for you football, European football fans out there as well. We might hit on that a little bit. Have a tremendous weekend, everybody. Thanks for listening to the show, and thank you for participating in the interactive element, as always, to Oilers Now.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 Chad.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.